You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Draft day, Johnny
Manziel. 5 years later. Download the brand new Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere with breaking news notifications from the team straight to your phone. We're going to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline right now, where we are joined by Jim Donovan, voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim, hope you had a great holiday weekend.
Oh, I did. Thanks. It's good to talk to you.
It's great talking to you. Obviously, today's topic, not necessarily the most fun one in Cleveland, especially this week. And we're talking Josh Gordon, what happened over the weekend. Jim, at this point, you're the Cleveland Browns. What are you doing to try to help Josh Gordon?
Well, I'll tell you what, Nathan, when that came out on Saturday, my first feeling was that I was upset and frustrated and saying, gosh, this just keeps happening to this guy.
Yep.
But when DeQuell Jackson sent out that tweet as a former teammate of Josh Gordon and a captain of the Cleveland Browns, then it really hit me that it seems that at least through the vision of DeQuell Jackson, who was with Josh Gordon, you know, all throughout last season and the season before that, that he sees something that is really spiraling out of control. So I was really fearful for him once I read that. So if I'm the Browns, I really reach out and try and get somebody connected with him and get him, you know, some help from the team. From the other standpoint, I mean, I think from the Browns standpoint, this is so far along in the NFL's hands on all of the other problems that he has that I think that they have to just sit and wait for the final verdict on how long that suspension is going to be. But on the personal side, because he is a part of your family and a part of your team, obviously he needs help. And when I read that from DeQuell Jackson, it really was like a punch in the nose to me that he really needs it right now.
Yeah, Jimmy, it was gripping. There's no question about that, as you mentioned, as DeQuell stated it. Jim, don't you feel, though, that the best step, the first step, if Josh himself or someone near him can just get him to realize, whether we're talking dependencies, addictions, choices, decisions, he needs to want to be receptive to this organization or someone to help him. He's got to make the first step forward for this to work, does he not?
Yeah, definitely, Michael, and it's very late in coming because I'm sure that was the speech to him when they initially took him in the supplemental draft because of the problems that he had had at Baylor and at Utah and whatever happened before that. So I'm sure that when Tom Heckert made that pick of giving up a second-round draft choice and making that claim in the supplemental draft and acquiring him, that they sat him down upon his arrival in Cleveland, and I know that they did, and they monitored everything he was going to do and said, hey, listen, Josh, this is a big gamble by us, but we think it's going to pay off because we think you're going to grow up, and we also think you're going to grow up and be a tremendous football player. So I do believe that. I really do, Michael, that it definitely has to come to him. The only thing that I've always heard about him is in regards to the team aspect. I've heard that he's a bit of a loner on the team, that he's kind of off by himself. Not a bad guy at all, not a disruptive guy at all, but just kind of moseys off on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if he has that immediate guy that he, you know, has gone through everything with him and has sat beside him in the locker room or on the bench with him during games or on an off day on Tuesday when the players are off and you know, sits and talks with him, because I do really believe when people have told me that, you know, he's a great guy, but he's a quiet guy and he's kind of a loner.
Yeah, and you know, last year Joe Hayden tried to take him under his wing. They spent more time together, certainly during the season, and it seemed to have a positive influence. But obviously now it's the Memorial Day weekend, July 4th weekend. We've had a couple of incidents again with Josh, and we've heard people, Chris Carter today on Mike and Mike said that the only thing the Browns can do to help Josh is to cut him. I disagree with that. I think if you say to him, listen, you're not playing football this year, you got to go to rehab, intensive therapy, we got to turn your life around, I think that can do just as much to help Josh Gordon as cutting him, and I don't see any football upside to cutting him at this time. What's your take on that, Jim?
Yeah, I'm not there yet on cutting him. I'm really not. I mean, he still is so young and new to the whole thing. But I can see where people would say we're getting there. I mean, we're almost, you know, we're getting to the point because it just keeps happening, and the intervals of time in between, you know, infractions get shorter and shorter. I mean, as weekly as Johnny Manziel's weekends are going on now, I mean, it seems like every other week or every 3 weeks now with Josh Gordon getting in some kind of a, you know, a scrape where it starts with speeding in the car, and then whatever his condition is behind the wheel or the condition of the car when the officers pull him over, then that becomes a major, major problem. Now, I think, you know, the Browns situation is this. I mean, the league is going to be very heavy-handed in this thing right now that, you know, if they keep him away from the game for a year, they keep him away from the game for a year, and for him just to get reinstated back into the NFL is just not a lock. And all of these other things are going to accumulate against him when he tries to make his case to get reinstated into the NFL. It's going to make it that much more difficult. I think that the Browns are sitting in a position right now, and I think they're handling it in a tough way, but I think they're handling it in the right way, and I don't think that they have to go out and cut him yet. He's almost cutting himself right now.
Jim Donovan joins us, radio voice, PNC Bank, Browns Radio Network, that you hear right here. Always good to have Jimmy. Jimmy, from a football perspective, again, many criticize the Browns, even going back to the draft, and Ray Farmer in particular, for not using maybe a second-round pick that they used on Joel Bitonio to go ahead and get one, which was a deep crop. Is that a situation now? But we know, again, now Anthony Armstrong was brought in, Nate Burleson, Miles Austin. So, you know, Ray Farmer has done these things. Do you believe, though, that even while we're in this down period, that Ray Farmer does have an alternate plan, and there are going to be escalated attempts, opportunities to get another wide receiver in here?
Yeah, I hope so. I think that, you know, I think general managers are just like that, Michael. I can remember Ron Wolf when he was with the Green Bay Packers, and he had the great run with Mike Holmgren, said that he always had in his wallet a list of four guys that he would, mm-hmm. you know, immediately pick up the phone and call if Mike Holmgren would leave the Green Bay Packers, which eventually he did. So I think general managers have to live like that anyway. I mean, I think that's their existence right now, to take a look at everybody else's roster, take a look at the free agent wire, take a look at once camps begin, when people start cutting players. So I hope he does. I'm sure he will. And I definitely think that that is, it's not a possibility. It's probably a reality that they're going to have to come up with some answer. I mean, we really don't know yet if Miles Austin can stay on the field or
right.
get on the field.
Right.
You know, Bennett was cut. You know, as you mentioned, some of these guys that have come in and are getting a pretty good look here, you know, because of their history with Kyle Shanahan, or some of these undrafted rookie free agent wide receivers, they're going to get a great opportunity. But is that going to be enough to give the Browns a sufficient passing game to make this offense move? I would think that they would be definitely very aggressive in looking for help, because I think the reality is that Gordon is not going to be here for a very significant amount of time.
Right, you cannot count on him in your plans.
Yeah.
Now, Jim, you referenced earlier Johnny Manziel's weekend exploits, the latest picture of him. Certainly not a good look in any way, shape, or form if you're a fan of Johnny Manziel or the Cleveland Browns. What's going on there? Where are you at with Johnny Manziel in terms of what's going on with this guy? Is this partying too much? Is it out of control for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, you know, Nathan, the thing is that, I mean, it was very apparent that it had started to really trouble the Browns. As much as they, you know, defended it and shook it off through the first couple of weeks when these things were happening, you know, the fact that Jimmy Haslam made it known that, you know, to tone it down, and it has not been toned down, and I think that some people felt that, you know, even at the rookie symposium when Johnny had his meeting with the, you know, with the media, that he was, you know, he was really pretty brazen about it. Hey, listen, you know, I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to change a great deal. So right away, I would say this, you know, that is a bit troubling, that it seems as though he's going against the wishes of the owner of his team that took a, you know, took a shot and drafted him. The other thing is, he sets himself up that he better be one hell of a quarterback when he goes out
yeah.
on the field, because he is wide open now to criticism. I mean, every time he misses a call or, you know, throws a pick or misses a wide open receiver, people are going to immediately say, not what did he do just there, what did he do last night, the night before the game? So he's really, you know, he's put a lot of chips in the out on the table and, you know, is saying, hey, listen, I think I'm going to be great no matter what I do. And if you're going to do that, then you better deliver.
You better be great. I think you're absolutely right. And I think he's starting to risk. And the last pitcher, I mean, the one in Vegas with the rolled up dollar bill, I don't know that that's ever been used for anything positive in my history or my experience in my life. So this is something where, you know, you're seeing a guy in light of what's going on with Josh Gordon almost flaunting it in light of being told to tone it down. Like, just get out of the limelight. Come back to Cleveland. Put your nose in the playbook where it belongs and just focus on being a quarterback, Johnny. I feel like that's kind of where people are at. And you're running the risk of alienating so many people in the organization before you've even had a chance to truly show them what you're capable of doing on the football field.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, Nathan. When, you know, like I said, when it first started happening after the draft and, you know, and the Browns were having their, you know, OTAs, you know, many of the of his teammates, veterans, you know, especially the veterans, would come out and say, you know, I mean, he's just a kid, you know, he's 21 years old. I mean, you know, if they followed all of us around every weekend like that, if there were pictures, you know, I don't know if we'd all be proud of the pictures that would be taken of us. But if you notice now, there's less and less of that, which
there's
would
none.
Tell me that, that the players are starting to get a little irritated with this, too. And, you know, no, you know, you can have your problems with the owner and you can have your problems with the head coach. But if you have your problems with those guys in the locker room, then that's a bigger problem than anything.
I think you're exactly right.
Yeah, Jimmy, you're right about that. And I hearken back. I know you and I talked about this when we were together.
Right.
It may be small, but you remember Paul Kruger when he went on the radio show in Salt Lake City?
Right.
Was asked about Manziel, right? He said, why do I want to talk about a guy who's a backup quarterback right now and hasn't proven anything in the NFL?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So now you can just say that's one guy. But again, Joe Thomas saying, you know, he's fine. He's doing what all rookies should do. We want him to keep his mouth shut, keep his head down, and go prove to us he can play.
Exactly.
So there's two samples from two veterans on the Browns.
Well, the other thing, too, guys, is this, is that the period of time from the end of his college season, from his bowl game right up until the combine, through the combine into the draft, was so quiet.
You and I talked about
he's
that, too.
He can do it. He can do it.
So why can't he make those same choices right now, then?
Doesn't want
to.
You know, he doesn't want to. It's no different than Josh Gordon.
Exactly. Yeah.
Except
I mean, you know,
for now he's not doing anything illegal, or at least has not been caught doing anything.
But as far as putting himself in not the most favorable light,
no question.
Right.
No question.
I mean, this has become a Monday tradition now.
It
is. That we talk about what happened over the weekend.
So we don't even have to plan a show about football because we know we're going to 2 hours
gonna
are just going to fly by with this.
All this junk, right? Yeah. And I don't want it. I'm sick of it. I can't wait for training camp to get here because hopefully then we'll be talking about football and we can get rid of all this nonsense, all these distractions, and all the things that really are not positive. These are not positive things to be talking about for a team that, you know, I'll go back to it, Jim, and I know you felt this too. The night after the first round of the draft, heading into round two, there was more positivity, more excitement, better feelings. Then you get the gut punch of the Josh Gordon news.
Right.
And yet you haven't really been able to get back there because there keeps being this distraction with Josh. Johnny's given the distractions right now as well, and it's just getting to be a little tiresome, I think.
Well, I mean, I was very excited, and I think we all were, and you're exactly right, Nathan. I mean, there was a buzz around that facility and around town, and it was nice seeing the Browns, you know, in the national light about how aggressive they were and what they were able to get in that first night of the draft, and I think it's great, and it's fun to have a buzz about them and to have an excitement about what camp is going to do. But it's not fun right now. This is not fun right, and I think you hit it right on the head. This is not fun. We should be talking about, you know, what are they going to do at this position, and what are they going to do at that position, and, you know, Hoyer versus Manziel. But we're talking about, you know, long suspensions, and, you know, brushes with the law, very, very, you know, accusatory pictures coming out every week on TMZ and all these, you know, social media, you know, buzz site. So, you know, you're right. I mean, we got to get down to football here, and that's what Johnny Manziel's got to get down to because Johnny Manziel is only going to be big as long as he's big on the playing field.
Right. And the thing about it is in college, he was the guy. There's no question about it. He was the guy. He performed. He revolutionized Texas A&M. They're going to have a new stadium, due in large part to what he was able to do there. He has not proven anything yet in the NFL. And I think if you ask a lot of people who were evaluating the quarterback position on talent alone, Johnny probably was top. There's a reason that he didn't go until the 20, into the 20s in the draft. He didn't go 22. Yeah. There was a reason for that. Mm-hmm. And I think it has to do, size was one of it. And the other thing was, what about Johnny the persona, Johnny Football? As you said, the thing that's maybe the most troubling to me in all of this is that from the bowl game to the draft, he was a model citizen. He's working out, not a single picture of him doing anything. And now that he's been drafted and even told to turn it down, you've shown us. It's one thing if you never showed us you could do it. He's shown us he can do it, and he is choosing not to.
Yeah, you're right. In the meantime, I love the fact that Brian Hoyer just has milk and cookies every night.
How do you not love that? Milk and cookies, and he's been working out. I know with Andrew Hawkins here and with Charles Johnson here.
Yep.
And that's a good thing.
That's a very good thing. Yep, that's a very good thing.
Well, we talk about the head down and with a purpose in mind. I mean, that could be kind of the definition next to Brian Hoyer's picture, couldn't it?
Absolutely.
He's single solely purposed on being the quarterback of this football team.
You know, Michael, and I think that's the description of him, whether it was at Michigan State or getting into the NFL and playing in New England and being the good guy behind Tom Brady but soaking everything up. You're absolutely right. I mean, that's been his mantra all the way through.
Yeah, and it's been consistent. Jim, appreciate the time as always.
Always good, Jimmy.
And we will be talking with you very, very soon.
Sounds great. Have a great day.
All right. The great Jim Donovan checking in with us on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. And, of course, he is the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. And if you do want to talk football, think a little bit about football, I can tell you this Thursday, July the 24th, 7 p.m., there will be a training camp preview on WKYC hosted by Jim Donovan and yours truly, where we can get into all the football discussions we'll be having once camp kicks off on July the 26th. Nathan Zagura with Michael Regeye coming up at 2 p.m. Eastern. We will have the Chris Carter and Herm Edwards sound bites so you can hear from two experts weighing in on the Josh Gordon situation. First hour flew by. Still have another one to come here on CBD.